This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show!
Spoiler alert! What Did You Watch This Week is a candid discussion about recent movies and TV shows, and it may contain spoilers if you haven't watched them yet. Listen at your own risk.
Episode number 262 of What Did You Watch This Week? My name is Mike.
And as always, I'm John.
Not a lot on this week.
Not a lot at all. It surprised me. I almost reached out to you to say, hey, Friday is going to be the season finale of Invincible. Do we want to barrel through and do three episodes worth? But I withheld myself. I said, no, we can do two at a time, but three is stretching it.
Yeah, how many episodes are left now?
Two.
Yeah, might as well just finish up these two this week then.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, that seems like a logical thing to do. Mm-hmm. Invincible. He's not very invincible.
No. No. This episode was called You Look Dead.
Yeah, and maybe his body was still healing from what happened to him. And that actually hurt because, you know, basically they talked about he had a hole put through him. His spine was shattered. I mean, on and on and on. So considering what happened, he does look surprisingly good.
Wasn't that a great battle scene? Because I remember you had fallen asleep through half of that episode. And
so yes, the fight scene in the headquarters of the Machine Head was excellent.
Mm, loved it.
Yep. But yeah, and this one, you look kind of dead. Essentially, Mark took a week to recover. And for what happened to him, he was looking good after a week. Him and Amber, they patch things up and they go with William and they head to Upstate University. I love the names of these generic places.
Yeah.
Where William's boyfriend or lover, whatever, Rick, goes there.
They're not quite boyfriend and boyfriend.
No, but they've done the deed, and they both are very fond of each other. We see this basically at the beginning. We see that there's this mad scientist, I guess is the best way to describe him, who's altering people. He cut off some guy's arm and put a robot on him. He's doing all kinds of things to alter people.
Played by Ezra Miller.
Yes, and he's completely crazy, clearly. And
mm-hmm. But brilliant.
Oh, yes, brilliant. Like, he's there on a gene. He's at the college on a – like, we know who the bad guy is, but they don't find out to the end. But we meet adult, who's there on a genius scholarship, as they call it. And he just basically mocks everything the science professor has to say and this and that. And basically he states that people are just machines who break down – and we need to figure out a way to make them better, more efficient. And his crazy way of doing that is to lobotomize them and make them part cyborg and just basically kind of powerful killing machines, if you will, or whatever he wants them to do. But in his mind, they're now perfect or near perfect and not as infallible as just a regular human, which makes me wonder why he hasn't experimented on himself, because you would think he would have experimented on himself to make himself.
Right.
You know? Anyhow, so of course shit hits the fan and this robot starts attacking people and Mark runs away to put his costume on to come back to save his friends, but of course Amber basically calls him a coward. And Mark tries to fight this robot who gets the better of him, and then the robot, once he sees his face, kills himself.
Yeah, impales himself on a giant piece of art.
Yeah, yeah. And then Amber's... go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, Mark's friend there realizes that Mark is invincible. And he's like, yes, don't William tell does. Anyone, don't tell anyone. And yep.
he doesn't tell Amber, who breaks up with him and goes to a
Partay.
Yeah, but what's it called? What are those called?
Rush.
Not togas, not rush. Sorority. Not sorority, that's a girl thing. Fraternity party.
Yeah.
Yeah, she goes to a frat party and Bart goes to talk to her, but then William's like, oh, there's something wrong with my friend. So he goes to help his friend, and Mark apparently gets his ass whooped by three of the cyborgs until one of them, who was Rick, William's crush, if you will, who was made into a cyborg, helps Invincible defeat the other two. And then Mark punches the mad scientist, if you will, in the face, dislocating and breaking his jaw and just stoving him up real good. Mm-hmm. And then he calls the government facility, if you will, who then comes and takes everybody away. And yeah. Yep.
And
what else happened in the episode?
Well, Robot is like desperately trying to save Monster Girl's life.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting. Like, he always seems so cold and detached, even with his own team. But with her, he's very adamant that he needs to help her. Even to the point where he has a duplicate of himself that brings back the Wolfsbane that they need to inject her mm-hmm. with. Like, he's telling the doctors, no, you're looking at this wrong. She has a curse. Her number should be this high, blah, blah, blah. And so he's like really scrambling to try to save her life.
Yeah, even the other guy who was injured makes a comment about it, saying like, you didn't work that hard to save my life.
Yeah, looks like Black Samson might have gotten his powers back.
Yes, it does.
He flatlined, and then like rays of light came out of him, and then his heart started up again. Could be his powers, could be something else. We don't know, because we don't really know what his powers were before that he lost mm-hmm. them and had to have a super suit.
Yep.
So I love this show. I'm simultaneously really excited to see the last two episodes, and I'm also not caring. I'm sad that I'm going to be losing this show.
I read that it was renewed for several more seasons.
Yes, seasons 2 and 3 are guaranteed right now.
Yep. So that's awesome.
I will say this. My one note for this episode was, I think I'm over the whole Mark and Amber drama.
Oh, I don't give a shit about it. Oh, Mark should just get with Eve.
Yeah, he really should. Because this was annoying. Oh, that was another thing that happened, was Eve left home because she basically said, the world needs superheroes. I could be doing, you know, Greenpeace type stuff out in the world. I could be, you know, diverting rivers to irrigate crops and helping people who live in third world countries.
So she goes and makes herself a fancy tree for it.
Mm-hmm.
And then she goes and grows some grapes and puts out a fire and helps a bunch of people.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to backfire somehow.
It is. It is. Whether it's her realizing that she needs more than that, you know, she needs to be around other people, or her just saying, you know, this isn't enough. I need to do more. And she's going to keep trying to do more and more before she breaks herself.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm going to miss this show. But
the other story. Oh, yeah. Sorry. So the other story was Debbie, Mark's mom, Nolan's wife, who takes his bloodied up costume to his costume maker, who apparently has the means to scan it for DNA and stuff like that. And they just come to the conclusion that Nolan killed the Guardians.
Yep.
He's the one that started the fight as well. And she confronts him about it. And he's like, you're drunk. And she's like, yeah, she is drunk because she's sad because her husband's a piece of shit, basically.
Yeah.
And so it'll be interesting to see. I'd like to know why. Hopefully we find out in these next episodes why Nolan did what he did. And I am looking forward to that.
Well, I'll tell you this. I've saved an article. I've got it up here in a tab. And yeah. I haven't read it yet. I'm saving it for afterwards. The title of it says, Omni-Man's plan from the Invincible finale makes so much more sense in the comics. So basically, I'm excited to watch the finale and then to read that article and see what exactly, you know, what was said in the comics versus what was said in the show.
Okay.
Because it sounds like whatever happened in the show, which it shouldn't be. It shouldn't be condensed, but apparently, you know, maybe they did one of those, you know, creative licenses, so they did it slightly differently than the comics. Because I guess I guess in the comics, him attacking the Guardians happens much later on. Like, it wasn't in the very beginning of the comics like it was here.
Interesting.
Agreed.
Oh, let's see. So that's that show. All right. I didn't watch Them, so let's just skip it.
It was Them.
Yeah. I want to watch it, but I don't know. I actually went to watch it last night. I was like, you know what? I'm just going to watch it and get it out of the way. And then I watched Grimm instead.
Oh, okay.
I've been rewatching Grimm. It's on Prime. I really enjoy the first season. So over the last few weeks here, I've watched, I think I'm on episode 13 or just finished episode 13. So I've been kind of watching that, like an episode here and there.
Yeah.
And digging the hell out of it.
Yeah. First couple of seasons were great.
Yeah. And then it was not so great for a little while. And you watched New Amsterdam. I did not. How was it?
It was we got to see another one of the classic examples of Max saying, I'm going to fix everything, and then realizing he didn't fix anything. So basically the big story that was overarching was that this a bunch of people were brought into the ER because they were all had these same symptoms and they all recognized each other. So they all live in the same apartment building. There was a guy who was handing out flyers for a miracle cure called Ronavax, which will protect you from the coronavirus. And so they all took it and they all got sick from it. And so Max discovered that part of the reason that this happened was because they live in a an area with no Wi-Fi. So he goes and talks to his buddy who, you know, does Wi-Fi stuff and gets him to provide free Wi-Fi. And he's like, hey, everybody, I got your free Wi-Fi. And they're like, awesome. What about computers? Well, we didn't get your computers. Oh, good. Tablets are better anyway. Okay. So, I mean, you think about it. If none of them have Wi-Fi, why would they have computers or tablets? So then he goes to somebody else and he's like, the computers in the hospital are terrible, to one of the board members. He's like, the computers are terrible. So we need like 4,000 of them. And she's like, okay, we want to be on the cutting edge. So we'll get you 4,000 computers. So he's like, here, everybody has computers. Well, they don't know how to use them. You know, he's got this one woman who's like clicking on pop-up ads and she's like, oh, this is great. They know me. They know that I need this. And he's like, no, you don't. So then he has to go to an IT person on the board and say,
so I need annoyed with this episode.
He's like,
and
I didn't he's like, it. I need a portal. We need to have a portal for New Amsterdam so that people can go there and log in and talk to a doctor and do video chatting. And so it ends up good in the end, but at the same time, it's, you know, the short-sightedness of him just being like, oh, we're going to fix stuff and not realizing that it's a big, complex problem.
Do you recall when I was doing my college classes? I was doing my college classes, and one of the questions in our ethics was about should we supply free internet to people that can't afford it? Are they suffering a disadvantage from everybody else because they don't have internet?
Right.
And people are like, yes, we should pay for it. And I said, cool, you're going to pay the electricity now so they can run their computer that they have? Oh, they don't have a computer, so you're going to buy them a computer now? Like, I went through this in a class.
Yep.
So, yeah. And I just got enraged by these people's ignorance of like, okay.
Yeah, because it is noble to say, yes, we want them to be able to have access to this high-speed internet because it is a utility that everybody uses. However, it's a multifaceted problem. It's not
right.
Just, here you go, there's internet at your house, do something with it.
Right.
Yep.
Yep.
So, yep, that was about the size of that.
Young Rock was good.
Young Rock was good.
That's been renewed for another season.
Not only that, but they announced that the kid who's playing his college version right now has now been cast in the Black Adam movie. So I don't know if this is going to be the young Black Adam or if it's going to be something else.
This guy's going to make a whole career playing the young version of Rock.
Right?
He's just young enough that when Rock is an old man, he can still play the young version of Rock.
We just need to have The Rock be Batman and then this guy can be, you know, Terry.
Yeah, I guess. It was a good episode, and basically it's a humbling episode, if you will.
Yes.
Because, you know, he talked about how hard he worked to play football, and he was good, but he wasn't great. You know, Ray Lewis was great. You know, Warren Sapp was great. You know, I was good. You know, I didn't get drafted. These things didn't work out the way I wanted them to work out for me. It was a good episode. It was a good story. Every episode has a good moral story, you know.
It really does. And I really appreciate that. I'm sure he had a hand in that to say, look, this is what my show is going to be, is it's going to teach lessons as well. I like the fact that they kept doing the cutaways, you know, where he's like, yeah, I bought my parents a mansion. And then it's like, you know, yeah I bought him a double wide. And, yeah, I got him a trailer.
Nice RV. Got the money. And like the number on his jerseys, number 1, number 50, number 249.
Yep.
But that's the number in the draft, which he got. So,
right.
But yeah, I don't know. It's again, for me, the show's hit and miss if I enjoy it thoroughly or I think it's okay. And it doesn't, you know, it actually does surprise me got renewed for a second season.
Right.
But I guess, I mean, the numbers are still pretty strong on it.
Well, at the same time, they renewed Keenan, and I don't watch that show, but apparently, you know, they were like, yep, the numbers are good on both of these, so we'll renew them.
I don't watch Keenan either. Prodigal I did Son watch.
Phenomenal, I will say that.
I'm what really was?
Digging the show. Prodigal Son, still digging
it. Oh, Prodigal Son, okay, sorry.
You said you did watch.
Well, I watched a new show, and now I can't remember the damn name of it, so give me a second. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was one of those things where it actually popped on
Hulu.
Yes, it came on like automatically after I finished the show, and I'm trying to think who's in it now. It's about three siblings. One has a lot of money. The other two don't. One's writing a book about his family.
Is this the one like something economics, home economics?
Yes, home economics. Yes.
I've seen that previewed, but I haven't actually watched it.
All right. Yeah. It's called Home Economics. It stars Topher Grace.
And like you said, one of them's like rich, one of them's a working class, and one of them's like poor or something.
Well, inspired by the life of co-creator Michael Colton, Home Economics looks at the heartwarming yet super uncomfortable and sometimes frustrating relationship among three adult siblings. One in the 1%, one in the middle class, one barely holding on.
Gotcha. So, did you enjoy it?
The first couple episodes were good. Yeah. Yeah. Actually, they really were. I watched because they put two. I watched the first two. By the time I watched it, the first one was. Oh, no. I just watched the pilot episode. That's right. I did not watch the second episode. And yeah, it's good. I like it.
Thanks.
You know, it's definitely all about money, really. That's the thing. Every episode's about money, you know, and you have the youngest brother who has the most money, and then the middle brother, or the older brother, I mean, who was a famous author who made some good money, but he's got three kids and married, and or two kids and he's married, and then his latest book hasn't done so well, and the money's drying up, and then you have the youngest sister, who is her and her wife have two kids, and you know they live in like basically a one bedroom or one room house with a loft that the kids sleep in, and she reminds me of a person that really really wants to live the minimalist lifestyle and buck traditions and do their own thing but is super annoying about it and is self-centered about it and doesn't listen to what their partner wants about it. And yeah, it's annoying.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
I may check it out though, because I know that you, I haven't even seen a full preview, but I've seen articles about it and such. And I thought about it, but I was never sold. But, you know, you make a compelling case to at least try it.
I did watch the first two episodes, now that I'm thinking about it. Yes, I did. Yes, I watched the first two episodes. And it was decent. Because the third episode is one that keeps popping. Hey, you want to watch Bones House Rental? I'm like, no, I don't. I'm good right now. But yeah, so I did watch the first two. So I'll keep checking it out at some point.
Yeah.
I have not watched any of Supergirl at all.
I haven't either.
It is Monday, May 3rd. Tomorrow, May the 4th be with you.
Yes.
Bad Batch is debuting tomorrow.
Yep.
Which is pretty cool. We did not watch Legends of Tomorrow that aired last night.
Correct.
Because, for instance, The Rookie and Zoe's Extraordinary Playlist are both on Sunday, and we wait to talk about them the following week. We basically talk about shows from like Sunday to Saturday. And then we were recording on Sundays, but now we record Monday. So that being said, did you watch The Nevers?
I did.
And what did you think of The Nevers?
My primary note was all that build up to the amplifier and Mary got mowed down.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I'm just not digging it.
It's not a bad show, but
no, it's not.
It's not making me care about all the intrigue and politics, and
it's really not. Me neither.
It's not drawing me in.
Nope. Me neither. Like you said, they built up this whole thing with Mary to sing her song.
Rest of them.
Yeah, and then she starts to sing. And, you know, he gets shot and killed.
Like, not just shot, like gunned down by a guy with a Gatling gun in his arm.
Oh, yeah, just... you know, it was one of that henchmen of... who the fuck? You know who I'm talking about.
Fried Gold.
Yeah, there we go.
That's just how I know him now, because that's his Instagram handle.
Oh, okay. But yeah, so I don't know. And then he got killed himself.
Yep. Again, it's not bad. It's just every time I watch it, I'm like, eh.
Yeah. And they just trudged back to the orphanage. And they find a bunch of people who was another touch that heard Mary's song. As brief as it was. Malady, that's what I was thinking.
Yes, Malady, yep.
Yeah.
I sent you a message because I had a very awesome realization this week as we've been rewatching Happy Endings.
Yes.
I see that it popped up on HBO Max, and the HBO Max run of it is in the correct order that it should have aired in.
Isn't so, Hulu, that gonna jump around. Fantastic?
Yeah, so I switched right over to HBO Max. I'm like, hell with this.
Yep. No, good call. Kate and I finished The Big Bang Theory.
Oh, wow. That was quick.
Yeah, I wasn't watching. We didn't watch it entirely together. She would watch it. Like, when I'm at work during the day, she's on a lunch break, she watches an episode or two. But we did watch the final episode together. And I had actually not seen the final episode, so.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. You had stopped watching because you were like, eh, fuck this.
Basically, yeah. Yep, that is exactly what happened. And I'm not ashamed of that. So.
So by my count, we have two shows left to talk about.
Yep.
One being Zoe's from the week before.
What'd you think of it?
Loved it. This was the one that I was like, oh, this was really good. Because this one was filled with a lot of stuff.
A lot of great songs.
Picked up exactly where the last episode had left off with her sitting there with Emily.
Yeah, and I thought Emily would, like, have accepted what's going on, but instead we get her being in denial for the entirety of the episode, basically, until finally at the end she admits, like, I have postpartum depression, and I mean, you need to talk to someone and get professional help. And her husband's like, okay, whatever we need to do, we'll do it. You know, being supportive.
Right. It was cool watching, like, Zoe kind of go to him and him be like, no, she's fine. She's tough. And she's like, this is me. You don't have to do that. And he's like, I'm really scared. I don't know what's going on with her, and I'm really afraid.
Yeah. I mean, it makes sense.
Yeah. Bernadette Peters comes back as Deb. And she's basically a, like, she was a good influence when we first saw her. Now she seems to be a bit of a bad influence.
Yeah.
She's like, let's be party girls and let's make up fake personas and go to a casino and get drunk. And
that doesn't go very well.
No, because by the end of the episode, it almost looks like Mom is developing a gambling problem.
Yep. Well, no, she goes back by herself and she's like, by the way, my name is Maggie. She tells the lady her real name. And so I don't know. I hope it's not a gambling problem as much as she just wanted to kind of go out and you know, we'll see what happens, I guess.
Right. I loved Max with Rosanna or Rose or whatever. Yeah. Basically saying, you know, that he doesn't want casual. And she's like, oh, thank God.
She's like, well, I'm so glad you said something. Yep. I feel the same way, but was afraid to say anything. So,
and that is tough, you know, because you don't know if you're going to push the other person away. When one person says, oh, I don't want this or I do want this. And you're like, yeah, I'll go along with it for now. That's why you got to be open and honest right from the beginning. Like,
yep. Hey, I learned that lesson the hard way. That's how I've been with my second wife.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it works phenomenally well.
It does. That's how I am.
And I will not change it for anything in the world.
Mm-mm. Nope. Open and honest. If you do like something, if you don't like something, just straight up.
Yep.
Mo got to meet her boyfriend's kids. Sorry, his boyfriend's kids.
Yep. So I'm real quick. It's okay. On the wrestling Twitter community, all right, there's a lot of everyone puts their pronouns up there.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone that I'm experienced with that is like Mo, cross-dresser, whatever you want to call Mo, they go by female pronouns. And Mo goes by male pronouns. Mm-hmm. So I'm constantly doing the same thing. Say calling Mo she, and I'm like, oh, but on the show they call Mo he. So,
right.
Yeah.
It's it's, I don't want to say confusing, but it just, I have to catch myself sometimes, but it's okay. Mo is phenomenal no matter what.
Mo is phenomenal.
And Mo wanted to meet his boyfriend's kids and his boyfriend was like, yeah, well, you know, they're kids. They get attached quickly and I don't want that.
Which I completely get and understand.
Yeah. So I was like, well, I'm going to be singing at church. You could bring the kids there. Yeah, we're going to hold off on that. But then the boyfriend does bring the kids over and they respond really well. Oh, you're such a good singer. I want to be like you, blah, blah, blah. I love your hair. So it worked out well. And then something that is a long time coming. I can't believe that it took them a season and a half, almost two full seasons to get to. But we end the episode with Zoe going to therapy.
Yes, because throughout the whole episode, Zoe's like, we get the Zoe's like she said, I have a superpower and I believe it's ruining my life.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like if she doesn't help someone solve their problem, then it's like it just makes her life is too difficult somehow.
Mm-hmm.
So. But. Yep. Good stuff. Good stuff. I enjoyed the episode. I enjoyed a lot of the songs. I enjoyed the progression of the story. So yes. We got a new episode that aired last night, and we got a new Rookie that aired last night because Rookie was not on last week and Zoe was not on last week. So we're talking about the episode from the 18th tonight because I had neglected to watch it.
Because last week was the Oscars, so nothing wanted to go up against it. So this week already, we've got two episodes of Invincible to watch, which is the finale.
Yep. Yep.
We've got Zoe, the Rookie, and the premiere of Legends.
Yes. And we have part two.
Oh,
an amazing episode of Debris.
Okay.
Which, first, this was called Do You Know Icarus?
Yeah.
And the part two is called I Am Icarus, which airs tonight, Monday night, which I don't know what time this show actually originally airs, but if we're done, maybe I'll go watch it on real TV. No, I'm not going to do that. Yeah. I'm going to watch it without commercials. So this episode, holy freaking cow.
We should preface by saying that Debris is one of those shows that we were both surprised by. Like,
yes,
we expected the next Manifest or something, you know, akin to that, where it was just like, okay, there's a gimmick and it's going to last one season. This show continues to astound. And this episode, I sent you a message afterwards and I'm like, dude, it's a two-parter, but holy fuck, is it good?
Yeah, because I know what a sometimes cliffhanger.
You don't want to watch the first part if it's a cliffhanger. So
yeah, no, I don't. I'll just wait option. For. I'll wait for both of them, but I went ahead and watched it anyways.
I'm so glad you did, because holy crap.
It picks right up where Spaceman left off, if you will. Mm-hmm. We have Brian and Fanola, and they're with Fanola's dad and George Jones, and they go visit – I can't think of the guy's name, but they go visit somebody that Brian knows about, that George knows about, is friends with, and I can't remember what his name is. Do you have it written down?
No. You keep talking. I'll look it up.
Okay. So they go see him, and while they're on the way there, they get a notification of a debris hit, if you will. Mm-hmm. So they end up leaving George with this guy as they work on their project. And Fanola and Brian go off and meet this kid who's looking for his sister. Okay? Essentially what happened is they found a piece of debris in the water out by their house. They swam inside it. They saw some lights and they went back in time. Was it 2 days?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And they went back in time 2 days. But as they go back in time, sometimes they switch dimensions. Is that the best way to say it?
Yes. They slip into a different reality.
Reality. That's a better one. A different reality. So this kid keeps trying to – he goes back in. He goes into the debris, and he goes to another reality to try to find his sister, to make his sister come back. And in the meantime, Brian and Fanola show up, and they go in to talk to him. Huh?
Garcia was the guy's name. Gary Garcia.
Oh, okay. The one that they left George Jones with.
Yep.
Okay. Yep. So they show up, they go and talk to him. And basically he's like, yeah, that's what you said the last time you were here. And he basically reveals like, they've done this before. You got George on the phone last time. I need to know what he has to say. So we're seeing a Groundhog Day type episode, but we're seeing it in progress.
And it's important that the reason behind this is that this kid, and he's a teenager, you know, actually he's probably like 17 or 18. He was messing around with this with his sister over and over again and kept going back in time. And one time he went back and his sister was gone. Like she didn't exist in this reality. So he keeps jumping to try to get her back. And the most recent one, he ended up with a little brother who's what, like 6 or 8 or something?
Yeah, something like that. But his brother keeps getting different names too.
Yes.
And then what's really cool is like when he jumps back into the thing and blips away, Brian and Fanola blip back to being in the van, in the car that we see from the beginning of the episode with George. And it's like, oh, hey, we have a hit. Oh, we're going to drop you off with Garcia. Da, 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 da. And then
Brian jumps. Some things are different. Like the deer that they almost hit the first time is just on the side of the road. And they're like, oh, a deer.
Yep, that's right. There's little subtle changes. But then Brian wakes up in the car and he's with somebody else.
Mm-hmm. Which he was part of the blip, so it doesn't matter to him. Like, this is his partner.
And when they show back up at the kid's house and he opens the door, he sees not Fiona. He goes, oh, well, this is interesting. And then he proceeds to blip through. Like, we see a cut montage of Brian with different partners.
Because the whole thing was to get George Jones. He needed George Jones's help. And without Fanola there, there's no George Jones. So he's like, oh, I got to get back to one where she's your partner again.
And then we get one to Fanola again. And when he opens the door, he goes, oh, welcome back to Fanola. And they're like, what? Because they don't understand what's going on every time.
Right.
No, we see the cut through of them going through everything again, and Brian jumps in the water this time to stop him, and he ends up going into the debris as well, and now they both blip. And now when Brian wakes up in the driving the car, he has a new partner, a woman, mm-hmm. and so they go to the thing, and now Brian grabs the guy and handcuffs him, and he's being aggressive, and he's like, you need to tell me what you did. We need to get Finola back and this and that. And I love this scene in this where – Brian's partner is calls Maddox and is like, Brian's not listening. You know, he's gone off the edge, yada, yada, yada. And Brian calls Finola at the MI6.
Mm.
And he says, all right, here's who I am. Pull up my file. This is what I need to tell you. You know, this is what's going on. And he explains the loophole, everything like that. And her dad being alive, and it tells her a story that only she could have told him about her dad type of thing. You know, like they do this very quickly, which I really appreciated, and convincingly mm-hmm. quickly. And I just love the part where I need to get back to my own reality because I need to get back to someone and blah, blah, blah. And she says, well, who do you need to get back to? And he goes, you.
Boom.
Yeah. I loved it.
Do you realize something, Mike?
What?
That was episode 9. There are 13 episodes in this season. So this wasn't the finale.
No, it wasn't. And it was that good.
Felt finale-ish. Like yes, this felt like a two-part finale. And we've still got I Am Icarus. And then next week we've got Azalah. Mm-hmm. Azla. It's A-S-A-L-A-H.
Yep.
And then we've got episode 12 and 13, which don't even have names yet.
What's going to be key is this show going to hold up?
Right.
You know, are we going to go back and watch this in a couple of years and be like, man, this is still good? Like, think about it. I haven't watched Journeyman in a long time, and we both loved Journeyman. Mm. I wonder if Journeyman would hold up.
I wonder that as well. I would like to try to watch it again, although it's impossible, but I would love to try to watch that again to see if it does hold up.
Hmm. Is it streaming anywhere?
Probably not.
I think it's on Prime Video.
Oh, is it? Is that the movie, though, or is that
the TV? No, sorry. It's the TV show, but it brought me to, like, Prime in Spanish?
Nice.
The Spanish website, for some reason, likes to do this to me.
Okay.
Oh, that was on in 2007. Mm. Dang. Hold on. Why is this in Spanish?
Because you... got the Spanish link?
No, it says Amazon.com. Shows them in the United States. Here we go. I just switched it to English. Oh, Journeyman is currently unavailable to watch in your location.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, apparently the pilot is on Daily Motion, though, so we could watch the pilot if we wanted to. Well, I know, but still.
Yeah.
No, like Journeyman, I kind of curious how that holds up. Life is still good.
Yes.
That held up. But yeah, so I'm curious how this will hold up in time.
Yeah.
Like quite frankly, the way Fringe, the way they went and the way their show ended, I don't really have any interest in watching that ever again.
I still want to go back and rewatch it because I never watched the ending of it, but I do want to see if that holds up.
Okay. Yeah. Well, maybe you could watch with Julia.
Yeah. That'd be a good show for us to watch together.
Yeah. So. Anyhow.
Is that it for shows?
Yeah, that is.
Okay.
We got some movies. I watched two
movies this week.
I watched two older movies.
I watched five new movies.
Damn. All right. So my two older movies, I'll just get them out of the way then.
Sure.
I watched, well, one of them, I say older, sorry, they're not old. Like, I watched one called Afflicted.
Okay.
And it came out in 2013. I don't know how I missed this one. It's like a found footage type movie about two friends who are going to go on. One friend has a could die at any moment disease.
Okay.
And the other friend is, I guess, a novice filmmaker. And so they're going to go on a trip around the world.
Okay.
And it's all shot in first person. Hmm. And one of the friends gets afflicted with something. And it's kind of a supernatural horror type thing.
Hmm. Okay.
And I think you should watch it. It's on Amazon Prime.
Okay.
And I actually saw a trailer for this when I was watching my DVD of The Raid Redemption. Mm-hmm. I threw it in and the trailer started and I saw the trailer. I'm like, how have I not heard of this friggin' movie? It's only 85 minutes long and you should definitely check it out. I enjoyed the hell out of it.
Okay.
And so did Johnny. The other movie we watched was Possessor, and this is on Hulu.
I watched this as well.
Oh, you did? Okay, perfect. So this is a David Cronenberg flick. Yes. Sorry, Brandon Cronenberg flick, David Cronenberg. Yeah. The long and the short of this one is it's about this secret organization that gets paid to kidnap people, implant a device in their brain that allows someone to remotely take them over and become them or possess them. And then they basically force them to kill people and kill themselves. What did you think of it?
I'll be honest, I didn't like it that much. Like, I didn't hate it, but yeah. I felt that the film style really grated on me after a while.
I agree.
It was not a bad movie, but at the same time, it was definitely like I got to the end and I'm like, woof, glad that's over with.
Yeah. Okay. So I thought the story was good as far as the plot, if you will. Like, that's interesting. That's unique. But then there were several artsy fartsy moments of it, or like really like cinematically artsy type moments, like where we see them melting and becoming one. Basically, it's like this is what's happening behind the scenes, you know, or
yeah,
you know what, you have to know what I mean, you
yeah,
know?
Yeah.
So it's got 93% on Rotten Tomatoes, 6.5 out of 10 on IMDb, 72% on Metacritic. And yeah, it was good. If you're a huge Cronenberg fan, it's worth a watch to see what his son does, because it's, you know, he does like some weird fucked up shit too. But I don't think I'd sit down and watch it again.
I know I wouldn't. And the thing is, like you said, it was a very cool concept and I really liked the idea of it. But I felt that, A, they didn't spend enough time showing it. Like, we start off the movie with her inside somebody's head finishing a job.
Mm-hmm.
And then we get a bunch of drama about her and her kid and her husband.
Yeah.
And then we get her on the next job, and that job takes up the entire rest of the movie. So this wasn't something like, Minority Report or Time Cop, where we're getting like lots of different things where it's like, oh, we get to experience this. It was just like, yeah, this is the one that you're going to follow. And it was boring in many places because of that.
If they took all the art house out of it, I think it could be a good TV series.
Yes. I think that this concept would have been awesome.
Yeah. Where like each episode is, you know, like a new case, or, you know, two episodes is a case or something, you know, but yeah. All right. What did you watch for movies?
So I watched Possessor, like I had said. Mm-hmm. I watched one this evening right before the podcast called Spontaneous.
Oh, that's on how? Okay. I haven't watched it yet, but it's on my list. How was it?
It was enjoyable. It's not exactly what I thought it was going to be, but I think one of the things that I liked about it most was that the characters felt pretty real. Like, these were 17-year-old kids who were spontaneously combusting, and we're mostly seeing the story from the point of view of, Catherine Langford's character, Mara. Mm-hmm. So she will do some of the narration and such. So she is a 17-year-old kid and treats the world as such. So I really kind of enjoyed it for that respect. It's on your list. I'm not going to give away a lot, but the basic plot is that, mm-hmm. you know, kids are spontaneously combusting, just exploding in a shower of blood, and nobody knows what's going on. Nobody knows why it's happening. There doesn't seem to be any pattern to it. There's your movie.
All right.
I enjoyed it quite a bit. I would check it out if I were you.
Okay. So that's two. Got three more.
Three more. Oh, I have things to say about all three of them, and I know you have things to say about at least two of them. So I'll start with the one that you probably don't have anything to say about, The Mitchells versus the Machines.
I plan on watching that with my family this weekend once the big kids are here.
So we will talk about this once you've watched it. I will just say this. It's phenomenal. Like,
I thought it would be. It looked like it would be.
You can definitely tell that the guys behind
Into the Spider-Verse.
Into the Spider-Verse had a hand in this. It is not the same. It has the same kind of tongue-in-cheek stuff. The animation style could be considered similar in many areas, but for the most part, this is its own thing. It was great, and I really liked it, and I really can't wait to talk to you about it.
Okay.
The last two are ones that you've seen already.
Mm-hmm.
Tenet, I watched.
Okay. And
so Tenet, you know me, Mike, you know, I love time travel. You know, I love alternate realities. I love all that stuff. Tenet was ambitious, but I think it's ahead of its time. I think that the concepts that he was going for in this are brilliant, but at the same time, we're not quite there yet. Like it reminded me of the problems that I had with time travel in Avengers Endgame, you know, where they basically said, oh, we decided to throw out what everybody thinks is right for time travel and make our own rules. And we're like, no, we've accepted that this is what time travel is. We've all seen Back to the Future. You guys are doing it wrong. I felt kind of like that in this. I also felt that this is one of those movies that you cannot appreciate it and you cannot understand it unless you watch it at least two times. Because the things that were happening, like, you know, when she's pulling away in the boat and she sees the woman diving off the yacht and she's like, oh, I'm jealous of that person's freedom. And then, you know, you get up later in the movie and you realize who's diving off the boat. And you're like, oh, makes you kind of you have to go back and rewatch the movie to see all of the things.
Or the big reverse fight scene in the hallway, if you will, and then you find out later who he was fighting.
Yes. Which I had a feeling anyway, but again, the concept behind it, this is not time travel. This is that they found a way through radioactivity to reverse time on people. They reverse the entropy is what they say. So instead of firing a gun and the bullet fires out, it's the reverse. The bullet is coming back into the gun and lodging back in its shell. It's high, high concept. And I think he was just a little bit too much. Like Inception, people could kind of get behind because it was a dream within a dream. And, you know, you could kind of get behind it. Yeah. This one, I think, was just a little bit too much. And I think that's why, like, it was supposed to be great. And I know it came out in the middle of a pandemic, but I remember a lot of people were like, yeah, I just didn't like it that much. It took too long in the movie to explain what was going on. Like, we got reverse time stuff happening right in the beginning, and we didn't find out about it until halfway through. And this is a long movie. This is 2.5 hours. And we didn't find out until halfway through. And so then you're trying to wrap your brain around it, and they're throwing all this stuff. The assault at the end, they're like, the red team and the blue team. The red team is fine. The blue team is inverted. And trust me, all of the enemies there are going to have inverted rounds and regular rounds and conventional. And the things like the building that got knocked down and you get to watch it get built back up because of the inverted round and then shot down because of the regular round. Again, I don't think we as humans are prepared for that kind of stuff. And that's not saying that we're dumb. I think that it's just such a high concept.
Yes.
It's hard for us to wrap our brains around the idea of time moving forward and backwards, depending on who you are at the moment. And yeah, it was just, I love that kind of stuff. I mean, I do quantum physics and all this alternate reality and entanglement. And even I was having a hard time, like, Jesus, this is annoying. So, yeah. What did you think about it?
Well, I enjoyed the hell out of the movie. And basically everything that you just said coincides with it. Plus, I really dig Denzel Washington's son's voice.
Mm, yes.
That actually helps with the movie, but I thought the concept
carried himself so well.
Oh yeah. Like, you know, I don't want to give away too much, but there's the guy that somehow sees himself dead, but he doesn't know it's him when he sees the death until later on when he realizes, oh fuck, that was me.
Right.
But he does what he needs to do anyways, because, if he doesn't, then the plan fails. Like, this is definitely a movie you have to pay attention to. You can't be sitting there looking through your phone while you're watching it. And I think that's one of the things I liked the most about it. Correct. Is because it demands to capture your attention, and it demands for you to pay attention to it so you can understand what's happening.
Yep. And that's why I sat down with all reverence and yep. I just, you know, put everything up, and I was like, okay, I'm going to watch this, and whew.
But not like Possessor in a way that makes you go, oh fuck, I got to pay attention to this.
Right.
And when you find yourself drifting, you don't find yourself drifting. It captures your attention the whole time.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So no, I it's a very good movie. It's a very yes. good, like, definitely watch it if you haven't seen it yet. Definitely check it out. I do think John is correct wherein he says this is a two-time watcher, so you can catch everything, or you want to see the stuff the second time.
Yes.
But yeah, no.
People understand some of the things, like when the guy gets sucked out of the door. You know, the guy in the mask, and he's fighting him, and the guy in the mask gets sucked out the door, and then mm-hmm. later on we see exactly what that was. I mean, even to the point of the ambulance driving away as they're taking the
yes.
person on the stretcher in, and then you realize the ambulance, you're like, oh, okay, so. You know, I need to watch this multiple times so that I can watch the loop, essentially.
Yep. Yeah.
Yep. Mm. Yes, I did thoroughly enjoy it. It just, whew, what a brain drainer.
Absolutely it was, yes.
So the final movie that I watched, and I know you really wanted to know my thoughts on this. Mortal Kombat! So we have gone through a long period where the butt of everybody's joke is that you cannot make a decent video game movie. You can't do it. You know, they always say, even the Resident Evil ones that they had like seven of them, you look at them and you're like, this is not a good video game movie. It's an okay horror movie. It's an okay horror action movie, but it's not a good video game movie. And so then we have Mortal Kombat, where they've done a couple of Mortal Kombat movies. Now they're like, no, we got it right. We nailed it. We've got the pattern down. God, were they fucking wrong. Fuck this movie.
Yeah, I was not. Yeah, I'm not a fan. Like, I did not live up to the hype for me whatsoever.
I wanted
there was no fucking tournament. There's no tournament, dude.
Well, okay, you said that, and I watched specifically for it, and they explain it in like the first 2 seconds. There's tournaments, and they said that Outland has won the last 9 out of 10, and if they win the next one, then they automatically take over Earth. So Shang Tsung and his people are trying to kill the champions before the tournament so that there will be no tournament and they'll win by default. Mm-hmm. So you're right that there wasn't a tournament, but they addressed the tournament multiple times in saying, you know, Lord Raiden won't allow this, and the Elder Gods, I can handle the Elder Gods. Don't worry about them. And,
right, yeah. But it's still a fucking tournament. Like, Mortal Kombat is a tournament.
Yeah.
You can't have a Mortal Kombat new movie without a tournament.
It drove me nuts. A lot of the stuff in this drove me nuts. You know, the fact that they all had these birthmarks on them, these brands, that suddenly it's part Highlander, because it's like, oh, I killed this guy, and so the brand shifted to me. And then later on, that's how Sonya gets hers. Like, and then the brand awakens an arcana in you so that you can do things like throw fireballs and fire a laser out of your eye. Really?
That's what it does.
Yep. So when Jax had his arms replaced with metal arms that were, you know, cybernetic.
Baby arms.
And then his arcana kicks in and turns them into super metal arms. really? That's what his Arcana was waiting for?
Yep.
They really did a lot of fan service.
We got Kano wins and, you know, flawless victory and finish him and fatality. Yeah.
Watching Liu Kang turn into the giant dragon from Mortal Kombat 2. And, here's the other thing that really bothered me. I mean, bothered me so much. So when I think Mortal Kombat, the first thing that I think of is Sub-Zero and Scorpion.
Yep.
Those are the two most prominent characters. I don't care. You could say that Liu Kang and Johnny Cage and whoever, Raiden. Yeah, you know what? Sub-Zero and Scorpion are who everybody thinks about. They're the most popular played characters from the beginning of the franchise. They are it.
Yes.
And Scorpion didn't exist until like the last 5 minutes of the movie. Mm-hmm. We got to see his great, great, great grandson or whatever. And that kid was made up. Like, that character does not exist in any of the games. So they literally made up this character for the movie, which really pissed me off. You know, his Arcana is to put the dumbest looking armor over his skin. Like, dumbest looking armor. And the fact that Scorpion was missing through most of this. I loved Sub-Zero. Sub-Zero was badass. Sub-Zero was the fucking dominant killer that he should have been. Mm-hmm. They changed his story a bit, but I fucking dug it. I loved him. I loved him using his powers. Like, that's what it should have been. And we should have had more Scorpion. We should not have had his descendant and then him get pulled back from hell for like 10 minutes of screen time at the end. I wanted more Scorpion. I loved seeing that ninja fight in the beginning. I was amped. I was like, yeah, this is going to be fucking great. Yeah, we're going to see this. And then he's fucking gone.
And I'll be honest, I didn't think the fight scenes were all that great.
No.
Other than the opening fight scene between Scorpion and Sub-Zero before they became Scorpion and Sub-Zero.
Yes. Like I said, I was amped at that point. I was
excited. Other than that opening fight scene, I didn't think any of the fight scenes were anything to write home about throughout the rest of the movie.
A lot of them were very heavily CGI'd and looked awkward because they were trying to make them look like the game.
Yeah.
And they shouldn't have. They should have made them like actual fights. And
It just didn't live up to the hype for me for the movie. Yes, they killed a bunch of people. They killed a bunch of the characters from the video games. And we got to see classic
ways.
Yes. But
they have so many different characters that they could have used. And the ones that they chose, Kung Lao, Liu Kang. Well, Kung Lao's gone. Raiden got to be a god, not Christopher Lambert. So, you know, good for that. Again, I didn't like the whole Highlander aspect of it. Speaking of Christopher Lambert, where, you know, you inherit it if you kill somebody. Really?
Some people are born with it. It's their birthright. They're chosen from birth. This is what they're going to do because of the perceived skill level they're going to have. But if some guy accidentally kills me, then he gets my birthright all of a sudden becomes his. Yeah, that's essentially how Kano got his, because he snuck up behind a guy and slit his throat when he was trying to rob him and got his thing, even though
that was still don't know who that would have been.
Right. And it was a complete and total accident that he got it.
I love, too, how they all squared off against their opponent, and that's air quotes, and got their asses kicked, and Raiden got them out of there. And then Scorpion Jr. is like, I know what we need to do. We need to separate them. So they all go back after the exact same one that they were fighting before where they got their asses kicked. Really? How about you split it up and say, okay, you got your ass kicked by this one, so I'll try him.
But they went to different fight scenes and realms.
Yeah.
I was not a fan.
Who's a fan of movies, who's a fan of video games, and who has played every Mortal Kombat since the beginning, this was supposed to be the redemption. This was supposed to be the big one. I was so stoked. And the thing is, we got a trailer that showed us that final fight between Scorpion and Sub-Zero, which was one of the best fights in the movie because, again, like the first fight, it was two fucking ninjas fighting. And
yeah, it was disappointing.
Yeah.
Plain and simple, it was disappointing.
Yep. What am I thinking?
I don't know.
So, I just... That's all I've got to say about that. I can't say any more because at this point I would just be going, you know, in circles and talking about they set it up so that next movie, because there will be another one. The next movie will have Johnny Cage.
Yep.
You know, they asked Scorpion Jr., you know, what are you going to do now? And he's like, oh, I'm heading to Hollywood. What's in Hollywood? Not what. Who?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but you know what? It is what it is, right?
Yeah. Right now, the front runner apparently for Johnny Cage is Ryan Reynolds, which would get me to watch it for free again, like I did this time, but it would not get me to go to the theaters.
No. No, it wouldn't get me to go to the theaters either. So, trailers? News and trailers? You want to talk about news and trailers?
All right. Lots of trailers. Ooh, pardon me. Sorry, I'm a little... burpy right now. Started off with a trailer for season 6 of Legends of Tomorrow. I mean, we don't even need to talk about it because we're going to be talking about the episode, but holy crap, I love Legends.
Oh yeah, me too. This looked absolutely phenomenal.
Fun story about that. We were driving the other day, Julia and I, and Return of the Mac came on. Guilty Pleasures playlist, and I was like, oh, let me tell you a story about this. And I was like, and she's like, yeah, and I'm trying to explain it, and I'm like, just Google Legends of Tomorrow Damien Dark Legends of Tomorrow Return of the Mac, and she's like, okay. Yes. And I'm driving, so I can't really watch the screen with her, but she's like, what am I watching? Oh I know that person. Okay. Oh wait a minute, like I'm listening to all of her responses. She, oh my god, are they doing a fight? Oh, that's so cool. Do I need to start watching Legends of Tomorrow? I'm like, yes, you do. Just realize that the first season, they tried to be serious. And then the second season, they still tried to be serious, but they were terrible at it. And then the third season, they were like, let's just be fucking ridiculous. And once you hit the third season, I was like, it becomes the greatest show on TV.
When they basically just say, fuck it. Let's just do what we want and see what happens. It's like, oh, shit, that worked. Well, let's try it again. Let's do a giant Bebo. Let's see what happens. Oh my god, people love this.
Yeah, loved it. Loved it.
I'm very excited to watch Legends. Like, I am super, super pumped for that.
I sent you a trailer for The Tomorrow War, Chris Pratt's new movie.
Yep, that looks good.
Looks good. Hacks on HBO Max.
Oh god, remind me of that one again.
This is the one with Jean Smart. And she's a comedy lady.
Yes, yes, yes. I think is that a TV series or a movie?
It's TV series.
Okay, that's when I'm going to see. Here's the problem. Kate and I don't have a lot of TV time without 6-year-old little boy.
Right.
So we have to try to watch something that we watch together because he doesn't go to bed like at 7 anymore. He goes to bed at the same time as his mother, pretty much, 8 o'clock.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So it's hard for us to watch something adult around him.
Yeah, I can understand that.
Yeah. What else we got for trailers?
I sent you one for The Misfits with Pierce Brosnan.
Is that a Netflix one? Or was that... there's a lot of trailers.
Yeah.
And it's hard to tell which ones are going to be in theaters.
Yeah, that one's a Paramount, so I think that one's
Paramount.
Yep. Yeah. Looks good. You know, it's another one of these like heist war kind of movies. And
yep.
Sent you one for Sweet Tooth, which admittedly
looks weird,
but apparently it's based on a very popular DC comic series.
Yeah, I don't know how I feel about this one because the trailer didn't really do much for me.
No, it almost looks like a kid thing, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. I need to see more in order to sell me on it. Because right now, yeah, I wasn't really that sold on it. But all these news outlets were like, oh, boy, we get the first look at Sweet Tooth, the DC comic series. And I'm like, really?
Yeah, people did seem pumped about it.
Yeah. I sent you one that was it was more just for you, but it was kind of cool. It's a sneak peek of the biography documentary coming out about Randy Macho Man Savage.
Okay, so it's interesting that you sent that to me.
Okay.
Because it was on last night or the night before or something. It was on recently. Mm-hmm. And holy cow, are people pissed about this.
Why?
Well, okay, so this is the third one. The Steve Austin one was great. The Roddy Piper one was amazing. And both were very complimentary to Steve Austin and Roddy Piper. But apparently the Randy Savage one, which was like 2 hours of TV time, so, you know, an hour and a half in the real world, if you will, was not at all complimentary to Savage. And I haven't seen it yet to say anything more than that. But boy, people are not happy about this. It was Savage comes off looking very negative in it, apparently. So I'm very curious to watch it. You still there?
Sorry, I had muted myself.
No problem. I just didn't know if maybe I lost connection.
No. And I was basically saying that I'm very much looking forward to hearing from you about it. I probably won't watch it myself, but.
Yeah, I downloaded the A&E app and I signed in with my mom's Spectrum account so I can watch stuff because they have a new show on there that's about, like, for instance, the first one was Mick Foley and the second one was Undertaker and Kane traveling around the country to find these one-of-a-kind items that WWE wants to get back, like Kane's original mask. The urn that was used in The Undertaker when Paul Bearer turned on The Undertaker. I mean, all these different cool WWE memorabilia things that, you know, 25, 30 years ago, they weren't really thinking like, hey, we may want to hold on to this. That may be important someday.
Gotcha. That's interesting.
Yeah. It actually is. So I've watched the first two episodes of that, and it's actually very, very good.
Oh.
Yeah. It's almost like American Pickers, but specifically looking for wrestling stuff. And like the first time Mick Foley goes to a guy's house, the guy's like, you know what, man, it's that important. You can just have it. I'm a huge fan, but maybe you could just say hi to my kids and let me call them, have them come over here. Oh yeah, no problem. And then like another guy's like, oh man, I can't give up this Mick Foley thing. And then like the guy that's the rep from the WWE is like, we'll give you $4,000 for it. I don't know. He like, it's kind of, it's interesting in a way, but I'm looking forward to checking out that Macho Man one.
Yeah. I also sent you another teaser for the next season of Dexter.
Yeah, I think I've seen a couple different ones, and it just looks great. Again, much like the trailer for Heels that you sent me that I had watched earlier, the new Steve Amell wrestling series on Stars. Once all the episodes are on Stars and once all the episodes of Dexter are on Showtime, I'll get a month of each to watch them.
Excellent.
Yep.
Another good-looking one was RoboDoc.
Oh, my gosh. With Peter Weller about the actual making of RoboCop, this looks fantastic.
I have to agree, and they didn't want to release the trailer until they actually got the interview with Peter Weller.
Yes, so, which was smart.
About that.
If you don't have him, you don't have a documentary. Not right. For nothing.
Exactly. And then, like you said, Heels. And the last one was this afternoon. This was trailer/news. Marvel released a sizzle reel for Phase 4. And it started with all kinds of clips from the previous movies.
And voiced over by Stan Lee, and it made me regret watching it at work.
I bet.
Yep.
But we got some brief clips. Like, we got footage of the Eternals for the first time.
Yes, we got clips of the Black Widow movie. We got clips of Oh, what's the other one they already have done? Shang.
Yes.
Yeah. And then we got first footage of the Eternals. Yes.
And then we got like basically all of the names, updated names and release dates, which you can look those up online. I'm not going to do them justice if I try to do them because I didn't write them down. But basically, Black Panther 2 is called Wakanda Forever.
Yes.
And then Captain Marvel 2 is called The Marvels, which is awesome because the S at the end is Kamala Khan's S.
Yes.
And she's already got her own TV series. We've already gotten a first look at her costume. So I think they're going to do her series and then lead it into the movie, which is great.
Yeah, they basically went all the way through these different movies leading to Guardians of the Galaxy 3, which is going to be in 2023. So, and then the last thing they showed was just an image.
Yeah.
No release date.
People are pissed.
Yep.
Because there's no release date, but it was the Fantastic Four logo blurred out.
Yep.
But it's the Fantastic Four logo.
It's clear as day. That's what it is. But there's no release date or anything. So, you know, that movie's at least 2 years out. But I like that they included Spider-Man in the release dates.
Yes. Although they didn't have any clips of it, which kind of made me sad. But, you know.
Yep.
Yeah. News?
So the Bridgeton Twin Drive-In.
Okay.
They played the Goonies this past weekend, and man, I wanted to see that so bad. Go see it at the drive-in just to go see it at the drive-in. But they posted something pretty interesting.
Okay.
It says, looking ahead, nothing listed here is confirmed, but these are possible play dates. So obviously they've been in touch with movie theater companies about releases this summer. And so May 28th, they have listed Cruella and A Quiet Place 2.
Okay.
June 18th, Peter Rabbit 2. June 25th, F9, which I don't know what that is. June 9th, Black Widow.
Oh, F9 is Fast and the Furious 9.
Oh, okay. July 9th, Black Widow. So we could at least go see it at the drive-in, probably.
Oh, yeah. That's cool.
July 23rd, Hotel Transylvania 4. July 30th, Jungle Cruise. August 6th, Suicide Squad, but I'll be watching that in my living room.
Yes.
August 13th, Free Guy, the Ryan Reynolds one.
Yes.
September 17th, Baby Boss 2, don't care. October 24th, Venom 2. September 24th, Venom 2. So I haven't heard anything about a release date on that or anything, like they even filmed it, but yeah, they got a release date here. October 1st, Dune. Again, I'll be watching that in my living room. And then October 8th, No Time to Die.
Hmm.
I was hoping they were going to put the new Halloween Kills on there.
Right. Maybe they still will.
Yeah, but they didn't. So No Time to Die is a new Bond movie.
Yes.
Yeah. So that was interesting. And like I told you, there is Regal and Augusta is slated open May 14th. I don't know how I feel about going back to the movies.
Yeah.
In inside theater.
Yeah. I mean, I just got my second round of the vaccine on Saturday. So allegedly in 2 weeks, I will be as safe as I can be. But I also, like you said, you know, I don't know how I feel about.
I just don't trust other people. That's what it comes down to. At the drive-in, I'm in my vehicle. You're in your vehicle. There's plenty of space in between us. At the movie theater, once the lights dim for the screen, you know what I mean? Like, I'm eating popcorn. That's why my mask is off.
Right.
So.
And there's not going to be any proof that the people that you're around have had their vaccine and that they're not carrying one of the variants or anything like that.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So. Yeah. Anyhow.
So
did I send you any trailers? I'm trying to think. I don't think I did.
I just scrolled back down through our chat.
Yeah, I know. I'm just checking. I think everything was covered. You kept jumping the gun on me on trailers. I sent you Possessor. That's about it.
Yep.
Yeah. I really don't have any other news. Any news I've had, we've kind of discussed throughout.
I was going to say, we talked about Invincible. We talked about Young Rock and the College Rock. And,
yeah.
I did have three other things, though, that
go for
are
it,
interesting. Finn Wittrock has been cast as Guy Gardner in the Green Lantern TV series.
Okay.
So that's going to be our Green Lantern, or at least one of the Green Lanterns.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yep.
Yeah.
So you remember how they're not rebooting Night Court, but they're going to be picking up where it left off, and we're going to have John Larroquette and everything?
Yes. But
this time, because Harry Stone, the actor, passed away, they're going to have his daughter as the judge, Abby Stone.
Oh, that's cool.
They announced that his daughter will be played by Melissa Roach.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so that'll be
cool. I like her.
Yeah. And then the final one, it just popped up.
What channel is that supposed to be on?
I think it's Peacock.
Okay. Yeah, I have watched very little on Peacock, actually, like, now that I have it, because I have WWE Network. And it's not that I keep forgetting. I just don't have the drive. Like, I haven't watched any of the new Punky Brewster at all, and I've wanted to watch it. I just
forgot that was even on there. So, yeah, I haven't even watched it either.
Yeah, my buddy Brandon, he didn't coin it, but he said it to me a while ago, and it made me kind of really think. Paralysis of choice.
Yes, that is a real thing.
There is so much new to watch, or so much to watch on, that you can't just pick one thing, or you struggle to pick out something. And I think that's why I've been enjoying Grimm, because it's familiar. And I know I enjoyed it.
Yes.
Yeah. Paralysis. I'm very much so suffering from paralysis of choice. So what is your third movie piece or news piece? Sorry.
News piece. It's I thought you'd find this very interesting. It just popped up as we were talking tonight. But they've just announced a new Law and Order.
Get the fuck out.
It's going to be very different, though.
Well, they've done others that are very different, so. And this new one is very different.
It says, but now Dick Wolf and his venerable TV institution have landed on a revolutionary new concept. What if the bad guys didn't actually do it? What if sometimes people end up in the criminal justice system unjustly? What if there was someone whose job was to defend people in court? So yeah. Now we're going to get Law and Order for the defense. A new spinoff series about a criminal defense firm that will put lawyers under the microscope and deliver the promise of a contemporary morality tale every week.
Okay.
So, interesting, because when you think about it, Law and Order has always been about bad guys did bad stuff. Catch them.
Yeah. Well, do you remember Interrogation? Or that Interrogation show that they have on Netflix?
Yes. Yes.
And there was the one season, I don't know if you've watched it yet or not, but they had the one guy in the interrogation room, and at the end, it turns out he was innocent.
Yes.
And he's like, well, wait a second, you came to my work and arrested me in front of people. Are you going to come to my work and explain to everybody that I didn't do anything wrong? And the officer was kind of a dick about the whole thing. He's like, you know what, buddy? I don't give a fuck. Get out.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that is interesting. I don't think it'll last as a concept.
I think it's a Law and Order show, so it's already going to have more cred than any other type of show. You know, yeah. If it was just like defense for the defense or something like that, people would be like, eh. But the fact that it has Dick Wolf's name on it.
But they've already done a Law and Order show where we see it was the public defender's office.
Hmm.
You know what I mean? Now, they're already telling us in this one, the people are innocent. So you're going into this, watching them being innocent. I almost think this is a horrible idea.
because
essentially you're going into this, you know that the person's innocent, and yet the police and the prosecutors are going to be trying to get them convicted on this crime that they have already told you did not commit. So that sounds terrible now that I've said more of that out loud. That sounds like a horrible idea, Dick Wolf. All right. Well, whatever.
See how it plays out.
Exactly. Yep. Exactly.
But that's it for me.
Well, that is it for me as well. So I guess that is it for our episode. I'm on Twitter. I'm Superstar Mel.
I'm the Quantum Geek, G33K.
Thank you very kindly.
We'll talk to you next time.